Hi, welcome to Colonial Williamsburg, past and present on history.org. This is Behind the Scenes, where you meet the people who work here. That's my job. I'm Lloyd Dobbins, and mostly I ask questions. This time I'm asking Marcy Wright, and at Colonial Williamsburg, she's performing arts dance interpreter. That's sort of confusing. What does a dance interpreter do?
Well, so many people have the title of interpreter at Colonial Williamsburg. We research, we collate the information, and find out all about dance in colonial times. So we can interpret it in movement and performance. We can interpret it verbally to visitors to share the culture, 18th century culture, and dance in its place.
Okay, let me share with you my ignorance. What part did dance play in 18th century culture?
If visitors come to Colonial Williamsburg, they'll probably hear a phrase, "Virginians are of genuine blood. They will dance or die." They enjoyed dancing as a popular amusement, a way to gather with a more interactive social amusement. You didn't have to sit down and play cards or converse in French. But you could join in fashionable country dances and show your good standing. You could socialize more freely with country dancing. And, of course, young people enjoy dance entertainments as an avenue for courtship.
Ah, well, see, that makes a certain amount of sense.
Yes.
Specifically, because we're in the Christmas season, what part did dance play around Christmas? Any?
A great deal. In fact, if you look at the months of December and January, there are a great deal of holidays in various belief systems and religious traditions. And so around these holidays or holy days, there are festivities. And that might mean Christmas Day in the colonial tradition, attending church and having a dinner afterwards. But through the 12 days of Christmas, starting with Christmas Day to January 6th, Epiphany, there's a great amount of entertainment, gatherings, balls, annual festivities to celebrate the Christmas tide.
So these Christmas things, 12th night things, are more for adults than they are for kids, because we have more for kids than we have for adults, really.
Yes, in truth, the evening entertainments, which go into the wee hours of the morning sometimes, are more adult-oriented. They will bring entire families to neighboring plantation houses to celebrate, but I imagine the kids are sleeping at a decent hour.
I keep learning things about that. Yeah, I have always assumed that the Christmas we celebrate is more or less the 18th century Christmas, but it's not.
Not at all.
So you have all these balls with the kids already asleep, and it's just hard if you've always believed one thing to get that out of your mind and start believing something else.
Well, let me take a step back quickly. In December, dancing lessons continued just before the Christmas holiday. And in January, right after Twelfth Night, dancing lessons resumed. In fact, some were held right around the time of January 6th through January 8th. So in the plantation culture, itinerant masters are traveling to visit these rural plantations, and the students from the circuit go to the one plantation house where the lesson is being held each month, and they have a dance party. Their friends and relatives attend with them. They learn perhaps a little bit of what the students were taught in their lesson, and so it's sort of a time for amusement and socializing, this dancing lesson. So that is one way in which children are involved.
So the dancing lessons are for children?
Yes.
Okay. So you got the kids in with the lessons.
That's not to say there weren't lessons and instruction for adults, but formal dance instruction for the gentry was private lessons or group lessons for country dancing. You need up to 8 dancers to do a cotillion, the French style of country dance, which is in square formation. And these cousins, neighbors from plantations close by would join at the one house for their lesson.
Okay, so I want to be sure I've got this right. Dances during the Christmas time or Twelfth Night are at plantation houses or big houses in the country or big houses in the city, but they're private dances to which you're invited.
Let's recategorize. Dance parties are something that happens at plantation houses that seem to be a label for the dance lessons, the formal dance lessons. Twelfth Night gatherings happen in all echelons of society. There's simple puddings, a cider, and a festival for the end of the Christmastide season. That's the most secular and popular reason for celebrating on January 6th or Twelfth Night. It's sort of the culmination mm-hmm. of this whole Christmas holiday time. The private gatherings could be annual balls, very traditional Twelfth Night gatherings in which there's a Twelfth Night cake with the king of the bean and the queen of the pea who get their way for a day, so to speak, when they get the slice of cake with the bean or the pea in it. There's dancing at these Twelfth Night gatherings. There's other sort of ritual or ceremonial types of dances that we don't find much in Virginia, but in the Delaware Valley, where there's perhaps more of a labor population, they do some molly dancing, and they bless the apple trees by pouring cider, or what we call lamb's wool, a type of wassail, over the apple tree.
You lost me when you said more of a
labor class, more workers, perhaps coming from different parts of England.
Fewer of the gentry.
Right.
More of the people who did something. Ah, okay. You got me. Okay, let's take it a little bit more. Something suddenly occurred to me. If dancing was sort of a celebration of things and you had fun, that was the idea. Was there any in New England? Those people always struck me in that period as being rather stiff.
The two main problems with dancing in the Puritans' mind was mixed dancing, mixed sexes, and dancing that was frivolous. It wasn't a part of simple living. But they embraced dancing for the congregational aspect. They embraced dancing for the educational benefit. So if you think of the Inns of Court and the men who were educated in colleges and universities, they danced. Dancing sometimes was a part of their curriculum, their learning. Mm-hmm. And these ministers, the Puritan ministers, were promoting dancing as a part of education and moving the body and becoming schooled and genteel deportment.
Almost like a lesson in grace?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I don't think I like it if you don't have the sexes mixed, though. That's
that
not
seemed
much
to be
fun.
One of the main questions that came up and the concerns. Mixed dancing obviously is the most popular form of country dancing, of enjoying dance as an amusement or entertainment. So they certainly were not condoning all aspects of dancing in New England colonies.
Because any pictures I've seen here of 18th century Virginians dancing or interpreters of Virginians dancing were all mixed dances. I mean, the men and women who are
very balanced, yeah, often in their sexes.
Mm-hmm. I was in Revolutionary City. I was watching two of the interpreters teaching people how to do this very simple dance, and it was mixed dancing, mm-hmm. and it was sort of holding hands and hopping about, which seemed to be a lot of it.
In the 17th century, when in the Commonwealth, Cromwell discouraged dancing because there was kissing and hugging and all that kind of thing. It was actually written into the dances and the instructions. That sort of fell by the wayside. You know, the Restoration came, the French dances came to the English courts with Charles II. The dancing, you know, was enjoyed again as a popular amusement, but we don't find that kissing and hugging written into the instructions any longer in the 18th century.
What a shame. That seems like a really good idea. To get this straight, we've got this period, 12th night. Now, in 18th century, which was the bigger event for dances and right, then people having fun? Christmas or 12th night?
Christmas Day was a day of holy reflection, going to church service, having a dinner. We don't hear much about entertainment or great balls or festivities on Christmas Day. The next day, in some areas, they might practice what in England is called Boxing Day, but they have a box they give to the Negroes with some clothes for the year. Fithian, tutor to the Carter family in the Northern Neck, gave some money to slaves, little bits there is some gift giving to children from parents. But that is mostly books, one or two, a small toy, something that is an article as a part of their daily life, or not a big emphasis on a material good.
Mm-hmm. So for us, the comparison would be... 12th night was a bigger celebration for adults, and Christmas was a holy day, and Boxing Day might have meant some little gift-giving.
That's right, or throughout the 12 days of Christmas. Okay. This gift-giving continued through the 12 days of Christmas, and children did join in 12th night gatherings and festivities, but when the dancing continued into the wee hours of the morning...
They were sent to bed.
Yes.
Just before the kissing and hugging that was in that thread. I love that part.
I should qualify: kissing hands, kissing cheeks, kissing faces, and lips.
Kissing is kissing. That's it. That's Colonial Williamsburg, past and present this time. Check history.org often. We'll post more for you to download and hear.